Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, February 24th, 2014. Thank you once again for joining the program today. We got a lot to talk about today. Yes, Al, I know what you're going to say. It's just
I didn't say a thing. I haven't even been listening. I haven't been listening. I have no comment to make. You understand? I know nothing. Got that Sergeant Schultz thing going on here. I know nothing, and I have no comments to make.
It's just an inside joke there. So, folks, we'll go on so you don't have to listen to our banter back in, you know. Anyway, we have gold. Yay, gold. Gold's up $10.80 today at $13.37. We have silver up 15 at $22.10. Platinum was up 10 at $14.44. Not a lot of happening in palladium at 744. And what's interesting is, you know, very long time ago, I'm going to brag about this, and, you know, tomorrow it'll pop up, you know, $60 and go over 800. But I always said palladium wouldn't go over 800. That was the high on palladium. The last time it was at 1,000. It could touch 1,000, but it was a play by Ford. But the fundamentals, they use a lot of palladium in jewelry, but also in car catalytic converters, both platinum and palladium. And today I saw an article, Al, where it shows where China is looking to cut back their autos because of their pollution. There's certain areas and cities, and that was always the underlying fundamental and discussion for palladium, was because all the vehicles that China would be buying, it would push the palladium much higher than where we are today.
Palladium or platinum?
Palladium.
Hmm.
Did I say palladium?
Yeah, you said palladium. Yeah. I thought platinum was what they used in their...
They use both. They use both. Right. But palladium is used for the type of vehicle and engines that they have over there. So my point is that because of their pollution is so bad over there, they're going to cut back and have restrictions on the amount of vehicles that can be on the road. So, again, you can see another sign that puts on, as far as the automotive industry, you know,
It's not going to be as profitable over there. I mean, there's, again, we've talked about it for a long time.
It's not going to be profitable anyway. You know, I think the world has pretty much hit a peak. I mean, how much is how much? But I just thought that was interesting while I saw palladium, and we'll see where it goes. We'll see how it happens as we go through the collapse. It is a precious metals. We'll see how it goes with the collapse of the dollar, and will it top over that 800 as it follows gold and silver, we'll see, or platinum. The USDX today was down 05 at 80.21. Crude oil was up 42 at 102.62. And the markets today, woohoo, everybody can get all excited. I guess the S&P touched 1852, breaking a record, and it needed to close higher than 1848. It reached on January 15th. I do believe it closed at 1850. Well, I'll take the numbers at those here in just a minute. But everyone was all concerned about the growth in the U.S. and China and the emerging markets. And woo-hoo, it's all over. You know, it's all over. It's done. We don't have to worry about those things anymore.
Those aren't problems anymore?
No problems. Put on those rosy-colored glasses, and everything is just fine. And you can go to Colorado and Washington and have some dope and sit back and relax. The Dow was up 100.
And happy days are here to get here again.
Here again. The Dow was up 105. It was 175 and settled down somewhat. Well, I guess the S&P didn't close above 1850. In fact, it didn't. It was 1847.71, up 11.46. Yeah, the Dow up 106 at 16209. Some of these numbers are still being settled, so you might see a little bit of difference here later on. But the NASDAQ was up 29 points at 42.92. So not much going on in the markets today. Oh, a lot of M&A is going on. That's why they're saying the Dow was up so good and the markets were up so good. But this week you have Chairman Janet Yellen. She's going to testify in front of the Senate Banking Committee on Thursday. Her original appointment for this was rescheduled because of snow. You're going to have some economic reports coming out this week. You have durable good orders and the fourth quarter GDP is coming out. You have the did I give the 10-year bond out
today?
Yes.
No.
Okay, it looks unchanged at 2.74. And
you gave it last Friday. I was pretty sure last Friday, but probably not today.
Well, it was unchanged, 2.74%. And the only other thing in the news, you know, Wahoo, Facebook, the Zuckerberg, Mark Zuckerberg, they're all, you know, 29 years old now. Of course, everybody knows who Zuckerberg is. But his goal in life is to get everyone in the world online. What a goal.
Well, I got to have a dream, I guess.
What a goal.
And what would we say, though? What would we say if we were all online at the same time? I think my goal perhaps is to get a lot of people offline rather than online.
Yeah. That's it. But that's pretty much going on in the markets today. So it was a good day. Gold's doing extremely well for the year, up 10% on the year. And you know, people are out there claiming, "I told you so, I told you so." But we stay the course, Al. We know what the fundamentals for gold and silver are, and we know long term they're going to be very powerful.
I think they're going to get not even long term. I mean, long term, yes, but I think we're going to see dramatic changes, upward changes in the price of gold.
Absolutely.
This year.
Absolutely.
I think this isn't, we're no longer sitting talking. I mean, you can't tell. No one knows for sure what's going to happen. The opinions are subjective as much as anything else, but I'm not going to be surprised to see the price of gold $2,000 by the end of this year, and it might be $2,500. That isn't going to surprise me. I won't say it's going to be, you know, I can't give you a prediction, say it's going to happen. But there are enough forces at work where that is at least conceivable. That's not unreasonable, not impossible. And I guarantee you, you're not going to look at stocks right now or bonds or just about any other investment you can think about and say it has a shot at doubling. Huh? Has a shot at doubling within the next, you know, perhaps by the end of this year. Will it happen? I won't bet that it does. But it's got a shot.
I do believe it's going to be higher than what we're facing today. And everybody's calling me and asking me, why is gold going up? And it's like, well, hello, you all want to know why it's going down, and then you want to know why it's going up. Number one, it never should have went down.
Yeah, that's part of it.
It was forced down. It's way underpriced at this level. It's just doing what is where it should be. It's going back to where it should be. Mm-hmm. And I think there's interest in gold, but you certainly don't hear the cheering of gold price rising on any mainstream media programs or financial programs, as you heard when it was going down. But, you know, I think a big factor is the debt ceiling. I mean, no one knows. I mean, that's pretty much private for the next year. I mean, what we could face a year from now with that debt ceiling being eliminated for a year. It's an American Express card. What?
Yeah, kind of. If they can find people to lend to them. You know, who's going to... Fine, they can go deeper into debt, but that requires not just a willingness for me to spend another $50,000. It requires a willingness of someone to lend me $50,000 to spend to go deeper into debt. I don't know what's going to happen. They've taken the lid off the debt ceiling has disappeared here for a year, but I'm not convinced that they're going to be able to lend. They'll be able to borrow very much.
They will find ways to borrow. They will find ways to print. They will find ways to spend. Have you ever known?
I get that. I understand that. But we are approaching limits. You know, we've been able to get away with a lot of bizarre things for much of my lifetime, probably most of my lifetime. But I think we are finally coming to a point when the government has got to face certain limits. We've got an article to talk about now or later today where the Pentagon plans to shrink the army to pre-World War II level. That's from the New York Times. They're going to cut back the manpower in the army. They're going to reduce it to the level they had back in 1940. 1940 was part of the Great Depression. All right? This is the Pentagon plan. Whether it's going to be approved by Congress, I don't know. But this is the Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel's plans to reduce the size of the army dramatically. Think about this. He's going to cut the army back to the size, the personnel level, to the size that it was in 1940 during the Great Depression, when the population of this country was probably about half of what it is now. This is the situation from my mind. This report right here, which came out in the Sun-Times, or excuse me, the New York Times yesterday, and I would have expected, I did expect, that it would make gold jump dramatically, significantly, I won't say dramatically, but significantly today, and I expected to see the dollar go down quite substantially. It only went down a little bit, dollar's only down a little bit, so I was mistaken in what I expected, but still, if the military is going to be reduced that dramatically, it means there's going to be less defense spending. It means defense industry profits are going to go down. It means there are going to be less people employed in the military. Every bit of this is bad news for an economy that's already in trouble. And then we get to when we talk about reducing the military personnel to 1940 levels, we have military personnel stationed in about 150 countries in this world right now. Now, some of them, there might only be, who knows, a couple of dozen or a couple of hundred in a whole country. All right? They may be just token forces. I don't know. A couple of instructors or whatever. I don't know what they've got there. But I guarantee you, if they're going to cut the size of the military dramatically, we're going to pull out of those foreign countries. That means those foreign countries are going to be left exposed to civil war, insurrections, foreigners trying to invade. They're going to look for another protector who might be China or Russia or who knows who. There will be more instability in the world, and there will be less power available to the United States government to intimidate foreign countries into continuing to use the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency. We've already taken a big hit on the dollar based on Saddam Hussein's decision to start selling Iraqi crude for euros back in 2000. Since then, the dollar's lost a third of its value as compared to other currencies that have also lost some significant amount of their value. Dollar's probably only worth half as much at best as compared to what it was back in 2000. That's because we've lost that petrocurrency, or at least we've lost part of our backing as a petrocurrency, where the world needed dollars to buy petrols, to buy crude oil. That's no longer true. We don't have the government to invade. They are going to absolutely, there won't be more invasions. We may still bomb some countries from time to time, but we're not going to put any boots on the ground. We won't see another episode similar to Iraq for another 20 years, in my estimation. We may get into some wars, but they're going to be fought, bombs, airplanes. We won't see another significant invasion. All right, that's not happening. Well, all of this, to me, I look at this and I say this means the value of the dollar as the world's reserve currency is going to be, that status is going to be compromised significantly. And when it is, that's the only thing that really gives our dollar value right now, is the fact that it's been the world reserve currency. And that, to my mind, if we're not going to be involved in major wars, we're going to remove our forces from countries around the world, it seems inevitable that we'll do that if Defense Secretary Hagel's plan goes through, if Congress approves it. All it points to, dollar is going to lose value. And as soon as that's perceived, I'm going to guess that the price of gold is going to jump, and the dollar, of course, is going to fall. How much? I don't know. I can't say for sure, but this is more than a leaf in the breeze. All right, we talk on the program once in a while, we see leaves in the breeze. We got to kind of get which direction the wind is blowing. But this is not a leaf in the breeze. This is more like the roof on the neighbor's house flying by your window. And you may not necessarily know the direction the wind is blowing, but you can bet that the wind is pretty strong. And that's where we're going right now. We're moving into that. And Why do you suppose the Pentagon plans to shrink the army to pre-World War II level, Melody?
Well, I didn't see any numbers as far as what the numbers were going to be cut and where they were going to be cut.
Now they're going from a peak of about 570 since in the last decade or so, the peak was about 570, and the number is actually only falling to about 440,000. All right, but they're still going to, they are going to eliminate, what that translates into is 130,000, thereabouts, 130,000, somewhere in that neighborhood, military, primarily in the Army, are going to be turned loose.
So they're basically just cutting people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the money, dollar-wise, The money is still getting issue on this.
Yeah, that's the issue, and that's the reason for the cuts. What's happening is the government is ultimately an admission that the government is going bankrupt. We can't afford the military. Now, we're not closing the whole thing down. We'll still have the biggest expenditure of dollars on military of any country in the world. Right now, we spend more money than all the rest of the world put together.
I wonder how many drones, how many soldiers equals a drone?
Well, I don't know. I have no idea, but I'm just saying that the fundamental point is, for me, the government's going broke. It can't afford the military. It's made an incredible, when was the last time we saw the military dramatically cut after the Vietnam War, you know? But this is significant, and cut back to a manpower level comparable to 1940.
Again, it's technology eliminating jobs. Yeah, exactly.
And it's technology. But they're saying we're not going to invade. That's what they're saying. There won't be. We might bomb some people, but we're not going to put boots on the ground. All right. I'm Alfred Adisk. This is Financial Survival here with Melody Cederstrom. Be back in a moment.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk. This is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm here with co-host Melody Cederstrom. And what's next, Melody?
I just want to encourage, take advantage of gold and silver at these levels. When it moves quick. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Let's build a bottom in gold and physical buying. Keep it from going down. If you're just sitting there holding your paper stocks, you're not doing anything for gold. So let's support gold and silver and put in a bottom so we can continue on up right now.
That sounds good to me. Do you know what the price of gold is going for in India right now?
Why don't you tell us?
About $1,450. They're 125, something like that. Paying that kind of a premium in part because they have restricted the sale or the importation of gold, but nevertheless, people in India are paying about $1,450 an ounce right now.
Yeah.
So
I think you're going to see it move up. I think you know it's going to have maybe a pullback here and there. But already, Al, I've had calls of people saying, well, what's the price? I'm waiting for it to go back down.
Oh, the people are out of their minds. You know, that's what happens on this thing. You're afraid to buy. The price is falling. It gets down to the bottom. You're afraid to buy because everybody else is afraid to buy. So I'm not going to buy because I'm afraid to buy. And when it starts going up, then you think, well, I'm going to wait until it goes down again. And then I'll have confidence enough to buy. And all that means is that in the end, there's going to be a day, a month from now, a year from now, where you sit back and say, you know, I could have bought gold for $13.25. I was thinking about it. I don't know what I was thinking. And it's just part of human psychology. It's part of human mentality. It just is that way. You can't. You know, you can't get away from it. It's part of life and the rest of it. But all of us have done this. Everybody has done this. There's a car you could have bought back. Oh, I remember I could have bought that car for, who knows, $10,000. And today, if you could find one, it's worth $40,000. You know, it's like we miss these opportunities. We watch them slide by. This is opportunity time. And those who don't take advantage of it are unlikely to see a similar opportunity again.
And there's books out there, there's people out there that are forecasting 750 gold. Yeah. I get calls about this guy all the time, and hey, he made a forecast that really got people's attention. Yep. Maybe I should forecast gold at 500. I bet that would really get people's attention. But and I can't tell you.
It doesn't get anybody's respect. It may get their attention, but does it get anyone's respect?
It does get some. But he just read Harry Dent that he was forecasting 750 gold and that the housing market is going to depress again. And yeah, it is. And he says, where is he coming from with that? And he wanted to know what I thought. And I did respond to him by email. But I know that's in everyone's mind. And what's interesting is you'll see his advertisement for his book on a gold site. And so he's against gold, but what he's really trying to get you into, folks, is paper.
Yep.
That's his whole point. You can make any argument for anything at any time, just like charts. You can make any chart to look good if you wanted to. All these comparison and all these guys who say, in fact, I was told there was somebody on the radio that was comparing $20 gold with other coins and you know, he went back from, you can pick any date, any price and make anything look good. And that's what I believe Harry Dent is. He wants your paper to look good. And he's been wrong more times than he's been right. And every time he's wrong, he just writes a new book and changes his view. That's my opinion. But now he is basing it on deflation. He's basing his 750 on senior citizens, the boomer generation, about them losing, retiring and not spending the money that they're used to spending. So he sees a cutback. He sees a depression coming. And he also thinks that cash is going to be king.
Yep, I agree with him. But what he's still making a mistake, in my opinion, during the Great Depression, cash was king. Absolutely. The value of the dollar continued to grow while prices were falling. During a depression, prices fall. As a result, it's like a teeter-totter effect. The other end of the teeter-totter is the purchasing power of the dollar, the purchasing power of the money, would be a better term to use right now, and the money grows more valuable. What you could purchase with $100 in 1930, you could purchase with $50 in 1934. Right? The value, the prices were falling and the relative purchasing power of the currency was going up. But, and therefore cash was king. But what was cash? It was backed by gold and silver until 1933, when they removed gold from domestic circulation. It was backed by silver on up until 1964 to 68 is when they find 68 is the last time they redeemed silver certificates for silver at the Federal Reserve. The point I'm trying to make is that the cash that was king during the Great Depression was gold and silver. We had pieces of paper. We carried them around in our pockets. For those of us who were alive at that point in time, if you're there in the Great Depression, I don't suppose we have too many people who were there. But regardless, we carried those pieces of paper, but they were backed by precious metal. Which, what I'm saying is, in the Great Depression, the cash that was king was gold or silver. Mr. Dent has mistaken the idea that the cash, he thinks the cash that was king was paper dollars. And people had paper, but they were backed by precious metal. It was the precious metal that was king. I believe the same thing is going to happen in what may be headed our direction. If we go into a Great Depression, or a greater depression, according to some, what we're going to see, cash will once again be king. Bet on it. Absolutely going to happen. But what will that cash be? I'm going to bet you it's still going to be gold and it's still going to be silver. And the paper, no longer backed by it, the paper dollars are going to, there'll be hyperinflation, or at least inflation for sure, which means a devaluation of your paper currency, and maybe hyperinflation, where the dollar grows less and less valuable, the paper dollar, but the gold and the silver purchasing power will rise and rise. They will certainly hold their value, and they will almost certainly increase dramatically during the Great Depression. So,
and, you know, we talked a little bit about housing on Friday. And, I mean, I do see, you know, I think housing is not what it was, and I don't think it will be. And I think you will see changes in the housing market. And I think these banks are holding on to those foreclosures, they're not actually foreclosing on them. And I think there's a serious problem. There's trillions of dollars involved. And I want to talk about this tomorrow. I didn't have a chance to talk to you about it prior to the program, Al, but these Wall Street banks, these banks, you know, they're able to write their own regulations and change the way they report their assets.
Yeah, I know.
So how's that work for you?
Well, it works real well for a while. It works great. You can make fantastic profits, and you can appear to be, you know, ruling the world practically. But when this criminal process and procedure turns on you, and all of a sudden you have painted yourself into a corner with your ability to make your own rules and regulations, what are you going to do? You know, you can't con an honest man, and you can't hold an honest man liable for debts he didn't incur. But these criminal enterprises that thought they were clever and they'd pass these rules and regulations and by congressmen and senators and presidents and they'd write the laws that they need written, by means of being allowed to behave in a way that's at least unethical and probably criminal, all they've done is compromise their own corporations and their own businesses in a way that they will not be able to easily escape. They're going to pay the price of their own criminality, one way or another. We've got a caller from
Scott from California.
Scott from California. Hello, Scott. How are you?
Hi, Mel and,
hello.
And Al. How are you guys?
Not bad. You've got a cell phone.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I was wondering.
You have a cell phone, and I tell them because it's like.
Okay, I turn the speaker off. Okay, is that better?
All right.
Is that better now?
Yeah, that's better. That's an improvement.
Anyway, I don't see the silver and gold as coins of the realm anymore, so I really don't think there'll be any confiscation. I don't think there's enough in the market.
I agree with you. You know, the last time they pulled the gold out of circulation, the gold was currency. It was money. Right now,
right. There was so much more that
warranted them. A commodity.
Right. Do you guys see any confiscation?
They treat it as if it's merely a commodity, and they have no more to take the gold or the silk than they take. We're stepping on each other here, Scott.
You go ahead.
Well, what I'm just saying is they have no more right to seize the gold or silver than they do to seize the pork bellies and the frozen concentrated orange juice. Right now, they're just commodities.
Yeah,
where's the government? They can't come in and say, we got to have this. It's an emergency. If they admit it's an emergency and they need it for financial purposes, then what have we been doing for the past 20, 30, 40, 60, 70 years? How come we haven't had it available to us? They're caught in a position. Nothing's impossible. I'm not going to argue that nothing can happen. But they're going to have to do some real interesting justification to convince people, come on down and turn in your gold and silver for the sake of the government. You're going to turn yours in, Scott?
It's such a tiny market. Yeah, it's such a tiny market.
That's the other thing.
I don't see them even bothering. I think it would give themselves a black eye for even attempting to do it. With such the tiny market that it is,
it won't make much difference. Yeah, it won't make much difference given the size of the problem we may be facing. So I don't know. I don't anticipate confiscation. I don't think that's likely. I don't think it's probable. And certainly, even if they tried, they allowed people to keep the collectibles back in 1933. Even if they tried, I'm going to assume that the coins are still
to keep up to five. You know, I found a 54 dime.
Yeah, we just got a really bad connection. We got a really bad connection, Scott. We're gonna have to let you go, Scott, because we just can't hear you. We appreciate you.
All right.
We call on a hard line.
Thank you.
All righty, Al. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. Yep.
All righty, Al.
All right, what's
that? There are always debates, and to me, I look at confiscation as a debate, and you know, it does make you wonder if there's no gold in Fort Knox, and you have all gold that has been leased out. None of these central banks are holding gold; it's all gone. And if that truly is a scandal and so forth, you don't know what they could do. It's true, Scott. It's true. It's a small market. But again, that also supports pricing. What would happen to the price of gold?
You mean if it turned out they don't have any gold at Fort Knox?
Yeah, and if they took it.
Price has to go up.
And that's what they did in 1933. They took it at a price, and after everybody stood in line for the sake of the government, for their economies, it went up a lot.
Yeah, I know.
So, I don't know. Yeah, you know, when it comes to gold, I'm not quite sure. Yes, they have other things they can do. They can nationalize the mines. And, I hear people who are pro-miners tell me, that's nonsense. That'll never happen here in the States. Well, why couldn't it happen here in the States? These are not the states that we...
Yeah, I understand.
That used to be. That once was.
Why should it happen in the police state is the question. It might not have been happened in the United States, but it could happen in the homeland. Homeland, Uberalis.
But what you do, folks, is you don't use the argument for confiscation to buy a particular type of product. And that's what a lot of folks do. They'll use confiscation as a way to scare people and to purchase their high-priced coins. Well, purchase the coins for what they are. They perform well. They give you an element of privacy, and they are non-confiscatable. What's wrong with that? But don't get feared into paying their extremely high prices. I mean, here at Discount Gold and Silver, we have very competitive pricing. I mean, you can't find anybody to beat our prices. And if you do, I wouldn't buy them from them because you probably won't get them. But be diversified in your portfolio and base everything on the fundamentals and not fear or greed.
Well, I understand. The trouble with any of it is it would be a lot easier if we could base it on the Swami.
Swami could tell
us exactly what the price was going to be next November 1st or whatever.
And you know what? With me believing that gold is going to 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, you know, maybe in some respect that is, I don't see it as greed, but I think it's reality. I think it's fact.
Well, it's one of the things where you protect yourself, and it's a certain amount of self-defense. It's not just greed. It's not just And it's not even just fear on one level. It's a certain amount of sensible self-defense. You've got to protect yourself in a world where, at least if you agree with my assessment on this, and I'm certainly not alone, the government has behaved irresponsibly for decades. Painted us into a hole that we may never get out of, at least not soon. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. What do we want to do next, Melody?
Well, there's a guy over in London who said he has a pretty good return on his paper gold that he's traded over the past almost year and a half. And he talks about getting a weekly close above the 1320 level on Friday.
Yeah,
Andrew McGuire.
Mm-hmm. Andrew McGuire, and he allegedly has a great track record in recent times, and I heard an interview by him, and this is some of the text from the interview, and he sounds intelligent, articulate, persuasive. I think he knows what he's talking about, but who knows? He's talking about how much gold China is buying, and partly because people were saying that once we got to a 1300 level, that China was going to back off buying gold. And he says they have not backed off. In fact, their physical gold buying has accelerated. He says China's gold buying right now is enormous. You know, the banks, and he's talking in part in his interview about J.P. Morgan Chase and how they have predicted that it was a slam dunk, that the price of gold was going to fall in January and it was going to drop dramatically and one thing or another. Didn't happen. And now they're back out again and saying, oh, the price of gold is going to fall. Well, we'll watch and see. But the track record suggests they are trying to deceive people. They're trying to intentionally mislead people in positions of power. You know, it's one thing, if someone like myself or Melody tells you something, well, you know, we are not, we certainly don't claim to be the world's most prominent gurus. I don't wear a, you know, a Swami hat when we do these
speak programs. Speak for yourself.
But when you see somebody like J.P. Morgan Chase,
yeah, like
you would assume that they have sufficient research capabilities. They've got formulas, and they should be able to give us an honest answer, an honest prediction. And what we see, or at least what we suspect time and again, is what they're telling us is not what's going to happen. They're telling us what they want us to believe in order to cause us to move in a way that is profitable for J.P. Morgan Chase. And it's unethical. It's wrong. I don't know that it's illegal, but it's wrong. It's not right. You'd wind up being misled. Well, in any case, this man, Andrew McGuire from London, he was talking about it in part, and he's talking about China more so than anything else, and pointing out that the Chinese demand has accelerated. They are taking more and more gold into China. They haven't slowed down at all. When we hit 1300 price, which experts were predicting China would back off, and if they did, then the price of gold would fall. China's moving, taking more gold at a more rapid rate. McGuire says the point is that people were waiting for the self-fulfilling calls by the bullion banks like J.P. Morgan to get themselves some nice cheap bullion, but that's not happening. We rose above the 50-day, the 100-day, and now we have closed two or more days above the 200-day moving average for gold. We've tested that 200-day moving average. That tells bullion buyers to move back in. They would rather sell it just above the 200-day moving average than significantly way above it. You understand? Once we cross that, the argument they're making is that because we have crossed the 200-day moving average in the gold market, they calculate it sold for X number of dollars today and Y tomorrow and Z the day after that, and they calculate the average over a period of 50 days, 100 days, 200 days. And these have been reliable indicators over time about what the price of gold or any other commodity are doing. And once you cross that 200-day moving average, it's good reason to believe that the price is going to increase significantly and persistently for some period of time. Doesn't mean it's going to keep rising for the next 10 years, 5 years, 10 months. Doesn't mean that, but it might. So in any case, McGuire's talking about it. He seems to be an expert on this, and he's made his conclusion. Things have turned around and sentiment is shifting, and he's essentially saying over in London that better jump in now. Now, we don't have all of the transcript of his interview here in front of me, but I did hear the interview when he predicted that gold was going to rise dramatically. He claims there's evidence that the treasury in England is devoid of gold. They have sent all their gold over to Hong Kong. He's saying there's going to be a significant supply problem for both gold and silver in the near future. And he's saying the only smart thing you can do is get hold of physical gold and silver and keep it and do not store it at some. You got to have it close by. All right? He's saying you've got to have physical possession of your product. And if you don't, you're taking a great risk. Because the time has arrived when people are scratching and scrambling for gold. There's good reason to believe that the gold vaults in London are empty. There is good reason to suspect that the gold vaults in the United States, Fort Knox and West Point and the Federal Reserve in New York, there's good reason to believe that, or at least suspect that the supply of gold in the United States Treasury has been significantly reduced. They claim to have 8,200 tons. They claim to have had 8,200 tons since the 1950s. But there's a lot of suspicion that the U.S. Treasury has been essentially looted and that gold is gone. If it turns out that those are accurate reports, then there's 8,200 tons less gold in the American market than people had thought.
And I won't, it's not exactly true to say that the Treasury gold was in the market, but it was leased within the United States. If you lose 8,200 tons, you have just seen your supply diminished. If your supply is diminished, demand remains the same, price has to go up. It's a fundamental rule of supply and demand. If it turns out that gold's not here, the price of remaining gold that is here must increase, and probably dramatically. All of this information is, you know, again, leaves in the breeze, and maybe and perhaps not just leaves, but at least the shingles off the neighbor's roof. Tell us the breeze is picking up speed.
Well, this weekend they had the G20 meeting, and you know, they're going to be spending another $2 trillion into the, you know, world economy, and it's like these numbers anymore, they just don't mean anything.
I know.
$2 trillion here, $2-3 trillion there.
They don't really mean anything.
No, they don't. They're all digits. They're all digits.
Yeah, $2 trillion what? You know, $2 trillion pieces of paper?
No, 2 0.
That are worth a nickel a piece or less?
Digits.
They're
just digits.
Digits. I got digits. That's Ben Bernanke's. He did the I Got Digits song. Janet Yellen may do that too before we're done.
Well, just to show you how great Janet Yellen's going to be, I just read briefly some of those minutes that were released last week, and everybody was talking about the Fed didn't know what was happening and so forth. And some of her comments, well, there was one comment where she was just more concerned, the price of wine was rising. And it's like, what? And they had quoted, you know, there were some other things in there that she had said. It was like, this woman didn't have a clue. I mean, and maybe that's why they actually released what she said, but it was kind of amazing, folks. And I think at least with the listeners and the people who listen to alternative radio, you know. You know what's going on. You know what's going to happen. You know what's coming down the pike.
But you don't know when.
But you don't know when.
Uh-huh. It's like going to one of those horror films at the movies or watching one of the old horror films on TV. Mm-hmm. Inevitably, they're all going to, you and Claudia go down the north hallway, and I and Jane are going to go down the south hallway, and we'll see if we can find the creature. They always divide. You all know they're going to do it. The creature's going to jump one, two, or three of them. You know, we know what they're going to do, but we don't know when. So we watch the movie for the sake of the suspense. You know, right now we're doing something similar. We know what's going to happen. We don't know when.
And they did oust the leader in Ukraine. We'll have to update everyone tomorrow. He's running for his life. Uh-huh. And there's going to be some interesting changes and see what's going on between, you know, the IMF, the Eurozone, and Russia.
And, you know, what's really encouraging about that story in the Ukraine, if I understand it correctly, it's that the former president, who is now hot-footing it, out of town, out of the country, looking for a place to hide, he was working against the will of the majority of the Ukrainian people. And now he's on the run. So it's interesting, from the perspective that there are limits, the governments of any country cannot simply ignore the will of the majority of the people for an unlimited amount of time. Sooner or later, they either have to do what the people want, or the people will jump up and burn their palaces to the ground.
But from what I also heard, Al, is the decisions in Ukraine are still run and made by the oligarchs. And, you know, perhaps this is what they wanted. And, you know, I saw now we can concentrate on creating jobs, on bringing confidence to investors. And, I mean, it's the same old phony line that you get from any, you know, it's a capitalist politician. It's like, okay, so
they probably have the same people are running the teleprompters in the Ukraine as run them here in the United States. All right. It's the little man behind the teleprompter. He's the one who's really running the show. And it's the same guy all around the world. That's what comes
like, out. I had to look at that statement. Like, who said that? And, of course, it was a financial person. But so it is interesting. And I don't think it's over yet. So we'll have to see how it goes. But the Ukrainian people want what Poland has and what Europe has. And even though their prices, you know, I don't think they really understand. They see the greater lifestyles in these other countries, or they see the GDP numbers increase, but they don't realize how much more their cost of living is going to rise.
Well, nobody exactly understands. This whole thing is so bizarre that it's difficult for anyone to really understand, including the leaders. We've talked about this before. Premier of China talked about this probably a year ago, 6 months, I don't recall clearly. He was complaining that he couldn't run the economy, the Chinese economy, because he knows that all the governors of the provinces are lying to him about how much the economy has grown and what they feed. China relies on lies. It's part of their culture. They lie routinely in order to maintain harmony. So the premier of China, he knows he's being lied to by the governors of the provinces who send him economic reports. They're lying to him on their economic reports, just like Obama's lying to the American people when he says the employment rate is such and such, and the jobs creation is such and such, whatever. We get fed lies all the time, but at least Obama should know the truth. Premier of China doesn't even know the truth. He's running the biggest, most populous country in the world, and he doesn't really know what's going on. So how are you and I supposed to know what's really going on? Where do you get information that you can absolutely count on factual reliability, that information? And the answer is very difficult to do if you can do it at all. And what do you do to compensate them? It's another reason to be concerned. If you are surrounded by lies and liars, then it's time to probably get hold of your wallet and put it in a pocket where you can't be picked very easily and protect yourself. Do the best you can. I mean, they're not lying because things are good. They're lying because things are bad. And that tells you protect yourself, and that protection, from my perspective, means gold and silver, among other things. It's not the only thing, but it means gold and silver. And you can't just very difficult, imprudent, and unwise to hang on to store your wealth in a paper media right now. Stocks, bonds, bank accounts, pension funds, all are in jeopardy if they are paper. Some of them will do well. Some of them are going to be badly debilitated, and those who rely on them are going to lose their assets. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. We hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Never seems to be a single penny left for me.